Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Brazil remains on top of the monthly world football rankings released Thursday by FIFA, the sport's international governing body. It was a quiet month on the international soccer scene, and the rankings reflect that. The top 10 places are the same as April. Brazil is number one, followed by Argentina, Germany, Chile, and Colombia. France is number six, followed by Belgium, Portugal, Switzerland, and Spain. The United States is number 23 in the May FIFA rankings, also the same as last month. The top 10 African teams also remain the same as April. Egypt is 19th overall and first in Africa, followed by Senegal at 30, Cameroon at 33, Burkina Faso at 35, and Nigeria at 40. The Democratic Republic of Congo is at number 41, followed by Tunisia at 42, Ghana at 45, Ivory Coast at 48, and Morocco at 53. Meanwhile, African teams also made the biggest moves and the biggest drops in terms of points and ranks in the May FIFA rankings. South Sudan was the biggest mover by points, up 31 points from April and 146 overall in the rankings. Madagascar was the biggest mover by ranks, up 9 places from April to number 111 overall. Malawi made the biggest drop by points and by ranks, minus 42 points from April and dropping 14 places to number 114 overall. Now let's go to the Bahamas, where quarterfinal action kicks off later Thursday at FIFA's Beach Soccer World Cup. Paraguay will take on Tahiti in the first quarterfinal, and that will be followed by probably the biggest match of the day. Four-time winners Brazil will play defending champion Portugal. Rounding out the quarterfinal action in the Bahamas, Iran is matched against Switzerland, and Italy will take on Senegal. The Senegalese are the top-scoring team in the tournament so far, with 25 goals coming from a 9-0 trouncing of Ecuador, a 10-1 battering of host Bahamas, and a 6-6 draw against Switzerland. Yes, you see a lot more goals at a beach soccer World Cup than you do at a regular World Cup. So far, the teams in the Bahamas have been averaging almost 9 goals total each match. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life. Music
time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000 and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori is usually based in Ghana, but Kwabena has been traveling recently in Germany, where he's been talking with a few of the country's Bundesliga football players with ties to Africa. One of them is Theodore Gebrselassie, a defender who plays for Werder Bremen and the Czech Republic national football team. Theo's father is Ethiopian and his mother is Czech. Theo made his international debut for the Czech Republic in 2011, becoming their first player of African descent. Kwabena asked Theo about how he got his start in football.
Obviously, I started playing in Czech Republic because I'm born in Czech Republic, and I started playing in youth, and then step by step, I moved into the professional squad, and then after that national team, and we made it to the Euros 2012, and then after that it wasn't that successful Euros, but we made it from the group stage, and after that I get the offer from Werder Bremen, and then I signed for Werder Bremen, and since then I'm here, so it's already been 5 years that I'm in Werder.
How do you like the atmosphere and the country Germany?
Oh, I have to say that I'm really glad that I'm here. We, of course, in the beginning, the first months were a little bit difficult to get used to everything. It's a different country, different language. And till then, I could speak only English, but we had a trainer and he really wanted us to learn the native language, or the German. And in that time, it wasn't easy, but it was good from the trainer that he wanted to do that like that. And in the time, I learned the language and that helped me a lot. And now, like I said, I'm already 5 years here and everything's fine for me here, also for my family.
You said after the Euro 2012, Werder Bremen tried to sign your contract.
Yeah.
What inspired them?
It's hard to say for me what inspired the club to, yes, to offer me the contract, but like I said, I think we played quite well in the championship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the offer came, and also the season before in Czech, we won the title, won the league, so I think that helped as well. And everything came together after group stage from championship, and then the offer came, and then it was easy for me to decide.
Mm. Playing for Czech, did you face some racism?
Yeah, of course I did, because I think it would be strange if I didn't face any racism when I'm the first black player playing for the Czech national team. But I have to say I've been always really lucky to have good friends around me since I was a small kid. And yeah, I was really lucky with that. And sometimes, of course, you hear something, but most of the times I was able to ignore it.
Could you tell me some of the achievements, I mean, honest, since your career, maybe from your youth development, study, won him some trophies?
I'm not such a guy for achievements, like personal. I'm more of a team player. I think my biggest achievement and what I'm really proud of is that we won the title in Czech. That was my, I think, most emotional moment in my career. And then, of course, the move to Werder Bremen. And, of course, here the games are hard, and a lot of also emotions in the games. For example, last year we saved ourselves in the last game, in the last minute. That was really emotional game, and then almost the whole city exploded. And that was also amazing. But like I said, I'm not the guy reaching for some statistics, and I'm more of a team player.
Did somebody in your family had a football in him?
I have to say that my whole family is really into sports in general. My father played football as well, but not on a professional level, and basketball, volleyball. So since I was a kid, we always played some sports. It wasn't only football. I played handball on, as well on a professional level, not in when I was adult, but till then when it was possible to play more sports. And after that, I played only, of course, football. But till that time, I could play everything. I played everything, like I said, handball, volleyball, basketball. So my father, my mother as well, she played handball professional in Czech. So, yeah, family is really into sports.
I see. So you are from a football family and it's in your blood. So who else is doing sports right now?
I would say we are a really sports family, so my sister is as well playing handball on professional level in the highest league in Czech for women. But now she's also finishing her studies on university. So, yeah, it's not like you can live only from handball for women in Czech. So she has to concentrate also for other stuff.
You've been playing the Bundesliga. You've seen so many African players. Would you have wished playing for Ethiopia in the African Cup of Nations?
It's funny to talk about it now. It's if and what, and now it's. I think it's not a question if I won, because it's already too late to decide this matter, because I already played a lot of games for Czech national team. And yeah, to be honest, I know my ancestors are from Ethiopia, but I'm born in Czech Republic, so I'm feeling like a Czech, even that I don't look like a Czech.
You know, Tio, you have a lot of fans in Africa, because every weekend they tune their television, they watch the Bundesliga, and when they see you playing for Werder or in the Bundesliga, they feel proud of you. What message do you have for them?
First of all, I'm really happy that a lot of fans are watching Bundesliga or me as well, and they are cheering for me, and that's something I never even wished for and I even dreamed of. So that's really amazing for me, and yeah, I would like to, and when the time is right, to go to Ethiopia with my father to visit, and yeah, I'm looking forward for the time.
Now you are on the sixth on the Bundesliga table, yeah, right? And you are heading for the championships in Europe. Do you have the confidence, or your team, are they still determined to qualify so that you play the European championships?
Yeah, now we can say it's our main goal from the last three games to get the most points as possible. And yeah, let us see where we'll end in the end of the season. Now we play against Köln on Friday, and that, I think that game can say a lot about where we're going to end in the end of the season.
Are you okay with Werder, or are you planning playing for a new contract with another team?
That's not an easy question. Like I said, me and my family, we are really, really happy in Bremen, but my contract is only for 1 year more. And yeah, in football, you never know. Everything can go really, really fast. And then from 1 week to another, can be some other offer. And yeah, but as I said, first thing is that we are really happy here, and when the offer is right from the club, I wouldn't think about twice to continue here.
Yeah, I understand that you are one of the key players in the team. You think Werder will leave you like that?
I don't know. It's hard to tell, you know, because I'm not the youngest guy anymore. I'm already 30 years old. So, and also the other younger players are coming also in the summer. So yeah, we have to see how it goes till the end of the season and what's going to happen in the summer.
That's Theodore Gebrselassie, a defender who plays for Werder Bremen and the Czech Republic national football team. And Theo was talking with reporter Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori in Germany. I've been talking with Namdi Moweta about the recent Anthony Joshua-Vladimir Klitschko world heavyweight title fight. Joshua scored a thrilling 11th round technical knockout victory in front of 90,000 fans at Wembley Stadium in London. The fight was broadcast on two cable TV networks here in the USA, HBO and Showtime, and in England, the big bout was on pay-per-view. I asked Namdi about the pay-per-view numbers.
Sonny, the pay-per-view numbers are unbelievable. The record for pay-per-view anywhere in the world is 1.5 million buys. Manny Pacquiao against Floyd Mayweather. The numbers coming out of London is more than 2 million buys. When you throw in 2 million pay-per-view buys, and then you add your live gate of 90,000 people, and then the foreign TV rights and all that, now you can understand why each of these guys will go home with £25 million apiece.
In the past, you've said that top fighters need to come to the United States because that's where the big pay-per-view numbers are. But it sounds like AJ can just stay right there in London.
Sonny, Deontay Wilder will not fill up the MGM casino. Deontay Wilder will not fill T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. So the epicenter of boxing today is the UK. They have all their champions. All the fans come out. Nobody can do 90,000 in the US. Let's be real, man. The American TV networks, Showtime and HBO, they did not even promote the fight. We can't compare what happened in the UK with what we do here in the US. The epicenter of boxing today is the UK.
Joshua Klitschko, definitely an exciting heavyweight fight, Namdi. Where would you rate it?
I would rather go with the top five, Sonny. The first one is Muhammad Ali against Joe Frazier, Thriller in Manila, the number two. The second one will be Muhammad Ali against Joe Frazier, Madison Square Garden, the first one. The third fight will be Evander Holyfield against Riddick Bowe in Las Vegas. Number four, Anthony Joshua against Vladimir Klitschko. And then we top it off with Rumble in the Jungle, Kinshasa, Zaire, Africa. Muhammad Ali against George Foreman. So Joshua Klitschko is part of the top five.
Namdi, you mentioned the big pay-per-view numbers for Joshua Klitschko. Would that be enough for Klitschko to keep on fighting at least one more time in a rematch?
Oh, they will do it again, and the numbers will be there because it was exciting, it was entertaining, and it will give us the same action pack and give us a classic in the rematch. So I think the numbers will be there again. So there's no point to go mess with Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder and all these guys. Let's do it again. And I think we have a window where it looks like they will do it again.
Anthony Joshua, proudly of Nigerian heritage. How has Nigeria reacted to his big triumph?
People at home, everybody excited because homeboy really delivered. And not only that, he delivered, you know. I mean, when you look at him in the ring, you see a tattoo of Africa with epicenter of Nigeria right there. So they watch this fight live. He comes from Ogun State. Ogun State is one of the 36 states in Nigeria, Western Nigeria, which is part of the Yoruba Kingdom. Ogun State House of Assembly Majority Leader Yinka Mafe will move a motion in the state legislature to have Sagamu International Stadium renamed Anthony Joshua Stadium. Also, they are going to rename a street around the city, Anthony Joshua Street. So we're very excited about this. They're talking about coming to Nigeria on a visit, which is very good. It will be good for boxing, good for people to see him and touch him.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting commentary from Namdi in the days to come, right here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us once again is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world?
You talked about Namdi's hard-hitting reporting. We have somebody in the sports world who hit two milestones last night and a number of shots as well that he hit. And none other than LeBron James helping to lead his Cleveland Cavaliers to a 125-103 victory over the Toronto Raptors in the NBA playoffs. But the two milestones that LeBron hits, he passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for second place on the NBA's all-time playoff scoring list, and he passes Kobe Bryant for second most postseason games scoring at least 30 points. So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had 5,762 points until last night, when LeBron now has 5,777, so overtakes him there. Kobe had 88 games where he scored at least 30 points. LeBron, as of last night, has 89. So lots of discussion saying LeBron is the greatest of all time, passing these milestones, leading his team to victory. However, He still has one person ahead of him for each of those records, and it happens to be the same person. The other person who he's the battle back and forth as greatest of all time, the other name that always gets mentioned, none other than Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan has 109 30-plus point games and 5,987 postseason points. So two more milestones that LeBron's going to have to chase after before I think he can call himself the greatest of all time.
I would say that's pretty good basketball company, Andrew. Kobe, Kareem, Michael Jordan.
You're in rarefied air when you're with those guys and those big names. So a big night for LeBron last night, but also in the postgame press conference talking about the Adam Jones incident. We talked about this earlier this week where Adam Jones, a player for the Baltimore Orioles, had some racial slurs shouted at him while he was playing up in Boston against the Red Sox. So LeBron says that he's off social media, so he hasn't been following it very closely because he's, as we know, gets off social media for the playoffs. But he said that it's his responsibility as a public figure to help lead young people and address racism and try to speak out as a voice for instances like this. So getting some coverage for that. That Adam Jones story continuing to get coverage as well on social media. Now, Monday we talked about he got called a racial slur up in Boston. On Tuesday at the game, he received a standing ovation from the crowd. There were a number of people, including Boston Red Sox outfielder Mookie Betts, who is also African-American. They were urging the fans to support Adam Jones, and they sure did on Tuesday. However, Wednesday, Jones gets ejected for arguing a strike call, and there is a picture circulating on social media of Jones leaving the field and a fan in the stands giving a rude gesture in Jones's direction. So people on social media are now trying to figure out who this guy is, if they can get him banned from Fenway Park, or if some kind of charges brought against him, because the Red Sox have said they are cracking down on these racial instances like this. So it's been quite a week for Adam Jones, for the Baltimore Orioles, for the Boston Red Sox, and for race in sports. It's getting commentary from across the sports world.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we also talked when I was last here on Tuesday about the Kentucky Derby, and it is coming up on Saturday. And we talked about that horse Patch, the horse with one eye, that became kind of the Cinderella story and the fan favorite. Well, they announced the post positions for the race on Wednesday, and poor Patch can't get a break. Patch is missing his left eye, and he will be starting in post number 20, the furthest to the right. So that means when he takes off running, he won't be able to see the rest of the field because they will all be to his left. So a lot of people saying poor Patch can't get a break. It's only adding to the allure of Patch the horse. Many people saying that they're very excited to cheer him on. Now, he has 30-1 odds, which are not the worst odds of the field, but certainly he's not the favorite. But we'll see if he can have an upset. The worst odds, however, are 50-1, or have two horses, Sonneteer, which is in the number 12 post, and Fast and Accurate in the number 3 post. Now, the interesting thing about Fast and Accurate, it's part-owned by Bodie Miller, who is the most accomplished male skier in United States history. He's won Olympic gold. He's won the Skiing World Cup. So we'll see if Fast and Accurate can live up to its name, and it's got some famous support behind him from a fast skier.
Fast and Accurate.
Fast and
I like
Accurate
that.
From a Fast and Accurate slalom skier. We'll see if that horse can live up to that name.
I did some research on Patch for our Voice of America listeners. He had his left eye removed last year while still racing because of excessive swelling and tearing in the eye. And they looked at it and they felt that they couldn't save the eye because of the infection. So they removed the eye. I will be cheering for Patch on Saturday, Andrew.
I think a lot of people will. And that's why I suspect the 30-1 odds from the initial odds release won't hold. I think there are a lot of people going to be betting on Patch, if for no other reason, because it's a feel-good story. They can feel good about placing a bet and having him win. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit about some of the favorites, but I think you can't count out Patch. Even if he's missing one eye, can't count him out.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And that wraps up the May 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The U.S. Department of State's Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $5 million for information leading to the arrest or conviction in any country of any individual who committed, conspired to commit, or aided or abetted in the commission of the murder of U.S. citizen Joel Shrum. On March 18, 2012, Shrum, 29, was shot and killed on his way to work in Taiz, Yemen, by a gunman riding on the back of a motorcycle that had pulled up alongside his vehicle. At the time of his death, Shrum was an administrator and English teacher at the International Training and Development Center, one of the longest-standing international development organizations in Yemen. A few days after the attack, the terrorist organization Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula claimed responsibility for the murder. Since its inception in 1984, the Rewards for Justice program has paid in excess of $125 million to more than 80 people who provided actionable information that helped bring terrorists to justice or prevented acts of international terrorism worldwide. You can follow Rewards for Justice on Twitter, @rewards4justice. More information about the Shrum Reward offer is located on the Rewards for Justice website at www.rewardsforjustice.net. Anyone with information on this case can contact the Rewards for Justice office via the website, email info@rewardsforjustice.net, phone 1-800-877-3927 in North America, or mail Rewards for Justice, Washington, D.C., 20520-0303, USA. All information will be kept strictly confidential.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.